This is the PNB Elections Committee meeting for February 22nd, 2010. I'm Bill Crozier calling the meeting to order, and it is 7:37 p.m. Central Time. Let's see. Ken, do you want to call the roll? Do you have the list?
Yes. Fred, let's call into the meeting. I'll call the roll.
Okay.
Check your email. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Dan Spiegel.
Here.
Anthony Fest.
Here.
Sean Casey O'Brien.
Present.
Okay. Ken Aaron here. Fred Klunder, not here yet. Bill Crozier.
I'm here.
Wesley Bethune.
Here.
Melinda Ilya Don.
Eileen Don, and that's me.
Okay. Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Okay, Renee Bowser.
She sent an email indicating that she was ill and probably would not be on the call this evening.
Okay. And and Alex Steinberg?
Here.
Okay, and that's all I have. And does that make, Bill, could you excuse Peter?
Yes, and Peter Tucker is here.
Okay, Peter's back. And Renee, or ask her to excuse absence also. Any objections to excusing her?
No problem. No objection.
Okay, she's sick. All right, so...
We're going to excuse Renee Bowser?
Yes.
I missed that. She's not here.
She emailed me.
Okay. That's excused.
All right, any other excuse absence requests anybody know of?
No, the only other person we're missing is Fred Klunder.
Okay, maybe he'll join us.
He probably will. I just spoke with him.
Okay, thank you. All right, well, I guess...
Is that Fred?
Bill? Somebody else on? Okay, well, the next item on the agenda is approval of agenda. I sent out a revised version to all of you this afternoon. I hope you got it.
Included
the motion, Tracy. Yes.
Yeah, Bill, I apologize. I'm not at my computer
Arlene
tonight.
Arlene, in.
Okay. Hi, Arlene.
Hi. All right,
well, I'll go over the draft agenda the way I have it.
Thank you.
One is approval agenda, 5 minutes. Two, elect chair and secretary, 10 minutes. Three, approval of November 16th, 2009 and February 15th, 2010 meeting minutes, 5 minutes. Four is review national election supervisor duties and job descriptions, 10 minutes. Five is review January 2009 request for proposals for election services, 20 minutes. Six is recommendations RE process for searching for and selecting NES, 15 minutes. Seven was the motion from Tracy Rosenberg that she sent us this last week. You want me to read that, anyone? I didn't put a time limit on it. 15 minutes, I guess that sounds reasonable. And recommendations, RE, what functions should be contracted out, 15 minutes. Nine, review additions submitted, parenthesis problems from the 2009 elections to the January 2010 committee report, 10 minutes. 10, new business, 5 minutes. 11, determine next committee meeting date, 5 minutes, and 12 review action items, 5 minutes. Any changes anyone wants to make?
This is Arlene speaking up.
Yeah, Arlene, go ahead.
I have to tune out by 7:30 Pacific time because I have to make a couple of calls to the East Coast over issues that have evolved today. So if there are items that I really particularly should be involved in, if we can get them covered at 7:30, that would be good.
That's a perfect segue for me, Arlene. Bill?
Yes.
Yeah. Are we going to discuss possible candidates for National Election Supervisor tonight?
What's on the agenda is the process first.
Okay. No, I just want to know because I know we're rushed. And over the last week, I have, talked to a lot of people, and I have a couple of candidates. If this is not the appropriate time, that's fine. I just wanted to know.
I think the appropriate thing would be to get me that information.
I'm very happy to do that, Arlene.
Okay.
You know, excuse me, this is Dan.
Dan?
Like Arlene, I need to leave at 7:30. But, you know, it strikes me that several of the items on the agenda kind of fit together. The issues having to do with hiring the NES, as well as Tracy's proposal. I think if we could discuss those together, that might be more efficient and allow us to consider the various alternatives that we have.
Okay. That would be like items 4, 5, and 6?
Yes.
This is Fred. Apologies for the late call-in.
Okay. Welcome, Fred. Okay. Any objections to combining items 4, 5, and 6 together on the agenda? Okay, hearing no objections, that we'll do that. Any other changes?
Yeah. What was that? I'm sorry, 4, 5, 6?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just quickly say what 4, 5, and 6 are, because I apologize once again.
Okay,
I don't have the agenda in front of me.
4 is review national election supervisor duties and job description. 5 is review the January 2009 request for proposals for election services. 6 is recommendations or a process for searching for and selecting NES. Oh, and actually, 7 also, motion from Tracy Rosenberg.
Thank you.
Dealing with hiring an NES.
We're combining 4, 5, 6 only.
Well,
4, 5, 6,
7.
And 7.
And I guess and 7. I misspoke earlier.
7, okay.
Are there any objections to combining all 4 of those?
No objections.
I object, Ken Aaron, because
okay,
7
Ken.
Is a long thing. I think it should be stand by itself. We're combining 4, 5, 6. It's enough already. I mean, it's, you know, you might as well call it one big meeting.
I don't know what you're into tonight.
We want to compartment what happened here. I suggest we should stop just combining 4, 5, 6.
Okay, so Ken suggests we just combine 4, 5, and 6 and leave 7 separately. Any objections to doing that?
Well, you know, not to be difficult, but I think that, you know, I just want to say off the bat, I think Tracy's proposal is one that I agree with in terms of the substance. What I'd like to see us have a conversation of is the timeline for implementation. In other words, if that proposal could be moved up in time, it also addresses the question of hiring an NES for this year's election. So that's why I think they fit together logically.
Was that Dan?
Yes.
Okay. So you're saying move it up on the agenda, you're saying?
Well, I think it's part of that same discussion.
Okay.
Okay.
So,
and I agree it's a long item, but the items fit together.
Okay. Well, if we all work together, I think we can get through all this, although we'll have to be brief with our discussion. So,
yeah. Thank you. Can I talk about my motion?
Proposal? Okay. Well, the motion right now is to amend the other motion. The first motion was to combine 4, 5, 6, and 7. And
No. The first motion was 4, 5, 6. Then Dan made a motion to include 7.
Oh, okay. You're right. Yeah. Okay. So let's just can we vote on that? If we need to, we have a discussion with the question is whether to combine item 7, which is Tracy's motion, with those others. Sounds like a disagreement. So
this is Ken. I just call that vote. We don't have time. I think we should just vote on it.
Okay. We don't have time for which, I'm sorry.
To discuss these things. I mean, it's just the agenda. That's good.
Yeah.
We want to get going here.
Okay. Well, can you call the roll then, Ken?
Tracy, this is to combine number 7 with 4, 5, 6.
Yes.
Amendment to changing the agenda item.
Yeah.
Tracy?
Yeah, I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Dan Siegel?
Yes.
Okay. Anthony Fest?
No.
Okay. Vaughn, Casey O'Brien.
No.
Okay. Ken Aaron, no. Fred Klunder.
I'll go with the majority.
Okay. Bill Crozer.
I shouldn't vote now.
Are you not voting? Okay.
Wesley
Bethune.
I'm going to abstain.
Abstain? Melinda.
Can I get a clarification on what we're voting on again, please? Could
this
you kind of paraphrase that again?
7 with 4, 5, 6. Or just, it was an amendment to combining 4, 5, 6 And we're voting whether we want to throw seven into the bucket.
And put me down as a yes.
Okay, and Campbell Johnson?
Yes.
Okay, and Renee Bowser's absent. Peter Tucker's absent. Alex Hatsberg.
Peter Tucker's here. I
thought Peter Tucker was here, yeah.
Peter
he
Tucker's
is.
Here? Okay.
Yeah.
Yes? Abstain. Did you vote yes, Peter?
I abstain.
Okay, and Alex Steinberg.
I voted no.
No. Okay, so I have 5 no's, 1, 2, 3 yeses, and 1, 2, 3 abstain, I think. So the motion fails.
Okay.
More no's than yeses.
So we'll keep number 7 separate. Okay.
Number 7 separate, so that we vote on, we already had an approval without objection to combining 4, 5, 6.
Correct. Thank you.
Okay, so we can go ahead on approving the agenda.
Right. Any other changes to
Mr.
the agenda?
Chair?
Yes. Please
Campbell Johnson.
Okay, Campbell.
Yes. You had suggested that we might hold off on the election of chair and secretary until, I guess until we were sure that the BAI people were on board?
Yes.
Yeah, but point of information, Mr. Chair, shouldn't we elect a chair pro tem and then in April we can elect the permanent chair?
Yes, or in March.
Well, I know, but we don't finalize our committees actually till April. So we are under no pressure to elect a chair, permanent chair, until April, when we finalize all of our committees across the network. So I would suggest that we vote on a chair pro tem, and depending on what we do in March, whether we need to do it again as a pro tem, and then finalize a permanent chair in April.
Okay, is that what you're saying, Campbell?
That's okay.
All right. So any objections to changing election of chair and secretary to chair pro tem and secretary pro tem?
Yeah. No. Oh, you're just talking about the agenda, right,
yes.
Mr. Chair? Or
yes.
Mr. Convener?
Yes, thank you. Okay, any other? So we'll change number 2 to add the pro tem for chair and secretary election. Any other changes to the agenda, anyone?
I move we approve the agenda as amended.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing none, then the agenda is approved as amended. Okay, next item is elect chair pro tem and secretary pro tem.
I nominate Bill Kozier for chair pro tem.
Second.
Okay. Any other nominations? Oh, and who made the nomination?
That was me, Bill, Sean.
Okay. Any other nominations? Okay, do I hear a motion that nominations close?
So moved.
Second.
Any motion to elect me by acclamation?
So moved.
Okay.
Not objection.
Any objections to doing that? Okay. Stuck with me for tonight again. Okay. Nominations are open for secretary pro tem.
I would nominate Ken Aaron since he did such a slamming bang up job last time.
I second that. This is Fred.
Okay. Any other nominations? Any other nominations for secretary pro tem? Okay. Do I hear a motion that nominations cease for secretary pro tem?
So moved.
Any objections to doing that? Can we elect him by acclamation? I like Ken.
You are a glorified scribe, Ken.
Yeah.
Okay. No objections, so congratulations, Ken, or sympathy. Okay. All right.
May I make a point of order now? Could someone...
Yeah, Anthony,
someone check their phone and see where all that noise is coming from, and please mute.
Thank you. Okay. Next item is approval of the November 16th, 2009, and the February 15th, 2010 meeting minutes. Hope everybody gets a chance to look at those.
Where were the minutes from November?
I sent them out last week. You want me to send them again?
Okay. Yes, please. And I'm kind of wondering, in a sense, that, well, I guess there are a number of folks who were members of the committee at that time, and, you know, I just don't know what I could contribute to, you know, approving the minutes, so I guess I could abstain.
Yeah, that's the general rule. If you weren't on the committee at the time the minutes were there, most of the time, as I did previously, we abstain.
Thank you.
If you want, I can forward them to you again.
Yes, I appreciate that.
Do you want to wait on approving the November minutes till you've had a chance to look at them till later in the meeting?
No. Well, I won't.
You can always correct them later.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, a point of information, isn't it fact that, you know, you have to be there to know what happened in order to approve the minutes, and I want all of our new members to feel welcome, but since they weren't there, it would be pretty hard for them to know whether the minutes accurately reflected what went down in the previous meetings.
Yes, except that actually anybody could listen to the recording on KPFTX. I don't know if anybody did that.
Point well made and point well taken, sir.
Okay.
However, we're on the honor system here, and if they didn't listen to it, I would hope that they would refrain from approving minutes that they were unfamiliar with.
And even so, shouldn't you be a member of a committee at the time to actually vote on those minutes?
Thank you.
I don't know if that's required, but it's probably a good idea.
Good take.
Yeah, just as a matter of good practice.
Let's divide these two things. Let's have do we have a motion to approve the November minutes now, or do you want to, or to defer that to later in the meeting? Somebody wants to make a motion about that?
So moved.
Okay, which one?
November. I would move that we approve both of them.
Okay. Well, I'm just suggesting we take the 2 minutes separately.
Oh, okay.
And then either approve it now or wait till later in the meeting.
That's where you're losing me, Mr. Chair.
Okay, do you want to approve the November meeting minutes right now or approve them later in the meeting after I have a chance to email them to everybody?
Well, I'd like to approve them now just so we can move on, but if our new members would like to see them, I'm, of course, not going to deny them that privilege.
Okay, well, the motion...
Mr. Chair, could we just do this one at a time to proceed?
Yes. That's what I'm trying to do. Okay, so the motion is to approve the November 16th minutes as were sent out last week, and I still haven't sent them out to everybody again yet.
Just November 16th.
Yes.
Any objections? Please check for objections.
Yeah, is there any objections to doing that? Hearing none, then they're approved. Okay, how about the January or the, no, the...
Point of information, I emailed them out to everybody on our committee.
Thank you. That's the February 15th minutes.
Mr. Chair, point of personal privilege, could we please ask everyone when they're not talking to put their phone on mute because we're still picking up a lot of static that's making difficult to hear the exchange between everybody. So please, folks. I'm going to do it now. Put your phones on mute. Thank you.
Okay, so we have a motion to approve the February 15th minutes that Ken sent out to us last week.
I make a motion that we approve.
So moved.
Any objections? Okay, hearing none, then they're approved too. Thank you. Next item. The next item's combined. Review National Election Supervisor Duties and Job Description, review the January 2009 Request for Proposals for Election Services, and recommendations are in process for searching for and selecting NES. And let me just point out real quick, part of the urgency is, according to our bylaws, Looking back on it, we really theoretically should have an NES hired by March 1st, which is really quick. So we need to try to do, if we're going to make any recommendations, we need to get going on that for sure tonight. So I'm open to any suggestions or discussion.
Bill, would you put me on the stack, please? This is Dan.
Okay, go ahead, Dan.
Okay. So, you know, having lived through a couple of these elections and been involved in what I thought were very expensive, cumbersome, and litigation-inducing procedures, I've really spent a lot of time thinking about how it could be better. And I believe that under Pacifica's bylaws, it would be lawful and efficient for the executive director to appoint a company to perform the duties of national election supervisor. And, you know, the reason I had asked that Tracy's motion be part of this conversation is that I think that she outlines the steps that need to be taken, but I'm of the strong belief that it could be done this year, that it doesn't need to wait until 2011 or 2012. I'm not an advocate of any particular company, but I know that 2 years ago when we ran into incredible problems in New York, we hired True Ballot right in the middle of the election, and because they have the expertise, the programs, and everything else, they were able to step in virtually overnight. And I would urge us to consider and urge Arlene to consider this type of approach. I mean, we are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars on the elections, and as everyone knows, we're poor. And, you know, without...
Point of order, could we have time?
Yeah, okay. And also, Sean, for the stack, please.
And Ken, to the stack.
Let's try to keep it brief, and then we'll appoint a timekeeper.
Okay, so I'll finish there. I think that this would be a money saver and an efficiency saver and would be fair to all concerned.
Sean, for the stack.
Now, what do we want to set a time limit for each comment?
Last meeting, a point of information, last meeting we had a 60-second limit.
All right. You want to propose that again?
Yes, I propose that.
I'd like to amend that to 90 seconds, please.
No objection, but if I may, 90 seconds.
Any objection to doing that anymore? Okay, we'll have 90 seconds for each comment, and then let's let everybody who wants to speak have one chance first, and then we'll give people a second chance. Is that okay?
Mr. Chair, could you please ask whoever's doing it to please mute their phone? I cannot hear 60% of what's going on.
Yeah, whoever, I hear it too. Whoever's not muted, please mute when you're not talking.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I had my phone muted. I wanted to be...
This is Tracy for the stack, if anybody
okay,
can hear
well, that. Okay, well, let me ask, who else can... Sean, would you only be timekeeper?
You know what, I would, but I am not. I apologize for not being in front of my computer, which makes it quite tough for me to be timekeeper, and I apologize for that.
Okay, somebody else want to volunteer for that? Be timekeeper? Tonight. All you have to do is count or time 90 seconds.
Yeah, and there's that noise again. Please, everybody, mute when you're not talking.
This is Anthony. I can do the timekeeping.
Okay, thank you, Anthony.
Just give me a second to dig out my stopwatch.
Okay. And I think Sean was next on the stack.
And as soon as I know my timer's got his stopwatch firmly in his hand, we'll go. So let me know there, Anthony.
Okay,
Thank you very much. Listen, after talks with a number of people, including our previous election supervisor, it has been pointed out to me that no company will do voter outreach. They will not do promos for the carts that we need. They will not do town hall-style candidates forums. So I really feel that we need an independent contractor to do all these things and to be our national election supervisor. They can, of course, work with a company. I also feel that a company, having worked on union elections before, that a company is not going to want to get involved in each of the individual stations' politics when it comes to staff list and all that. So I am firmly against putting a company in charge. We should have an independent contractor, a single individual. If they work with a company, that's something different. But a company should not be in charge of our elections for the reasons I've outlined below. Thank you. Oh, and I would before I say that, I would like to add, they will, of course, companies will do the nuts and bolts activities of printing ballots and mailings like that. But in terms of the promo carts, the voter outreach and such, they won't get involved. Therefore, I don't think a company is a reasonable alternative to what we're talking about here.
Time.
Thank you.
Who else is next?
Ken Aaron's next.
Okay, Ken.
I concur with what Sean is saying and would put everybody's attention to the Pacifica Foundation policy of 25 April 2009 called Local Station Board Election Policy. And it's a lot of hands-on in terms of playing cards, getting people nominated, and making sure that there's on-air promotion. All of these are people skills and does not lend itself to a firm. It takes a person, a personality. Also, concurrently, it's not on the agenda at this point to discuss shifting from a person, live national, NES, over to a firm. And lastly, and most important, I work in election protection, and the biggest problem we have in that field, as we do in others, is privatization. There's no reason the U.S. government should be outsourcing vote counting to individual firms. That should be done by the government. And likewise, Pacifica should count its own votes. There's no need to privatize it out to some firm which operates on a for-profit basis.
Okay. Well, if there's nobody else on the stack, I want to say
yes, something. Campbell.
Tracy, Campbell, please, for the stack as well.
Okay. Campbell and Tracy, go ahead. Campbell?
Did you say Campbell?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Somebody still needs to mute.
I beg your pardon?
Yeah, somebody still needs to mute. There's a lot of background noise. But go ahead, Campbell.
Okay. I'm quite amazed to hear these comments. I've hired people for a variety of things, from doing audits to just any number of consulting kinds of propositions. If you put the RFP out there, whether an individual or whether a firm responds to it, it should be open to that. And I would think that insofar as the different tasks that are identified, if the tasks are part of the RFP, then those tasks need to be responded to insofar as the proposal that's submitted. I mean, that's just plain and simple. We've been having an individual do it, as I understand, for the past two times, which I think have been abysmal failures. The notion of privatization, that's between the government and private sector. Anybody with whom Pacifica contracts would be, from what I understood this definition to be, would be privatization. But this, I think that's a misnomer in terms of its application in this context. So I think that really the recommendation that Dan is making should be a no-brainer, and that's the way that we should proceed if we want to have a fair election and an election with as few problems as possible. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. And then I forgot who was next on the stack.
I think it's Tracy. I've been trying to be on the stack.
Yeah,
I don't know
yeah,
if
right.
I'm next, but am
yeah,
I?
Go ahead, Tracy. Yes, thanks. Go ahead.
The point that I want to make, that I was trying to make in the motion, and I want to make it loud and clear right now, is that with the state of our current process, you're going to have to provide a contractor with a chunk of the work that is well thought out and with a structure for handling the work that a contractor is not going to want to do, and there is some. And if you rush into that with the current request for proposal that you have, I think you are in a scenario where you're going to end up spending more than you already spend. The reality is, I don't think that you have a workable RFP at this point, and I think it's going to take months of work to produce one. It's a complicated process. You have to analyze what you can and can't expect a contractor to do. Signing a contract and hiring an NES and hiring five LESs is going to make your costs higher, not lower, and you can't afford it. That's why I am proposing that this committee go through an approximately six-month-long process to develop a workable RFP and put it forward to the next election cycle so you can do it right and not make a big mess.
Okay, thank you. Well, let me put myself in the stack right just briefly. I tend to agree with Tracy. I think it's really too late anyway for us right now to consider contracting out the NES. A year ago, we had started this process in January, and we're too late to do that now, so I think we just need to get an individual hired, is my personal opinion now. And then we can decide what to contract out or if we want to contract out in certain things. My personal feeling is still a good idea to contract out some of the duties to a professional, independent, neutral company who has experience with nonprofit elections. We can discuss that later on. Okay, who else wants to speak?
This is Dan. I just like to make a brief comment again.
Okay.
No matter what we do, we are contracting out. The dispute we're having is not about contracting out or not contracting out. It's whether we do it with an individual or whether we do it with an organization that has the skills. I'd really ask people to consider the budgetary implications. I don't know how much was spent on the previous election. The one previous to that, it was over $100,000 over budget. And I think we just have to consider whether we could afford the type of elections that we've had over the last two cycles. We are a poor organization right now. That's all.
So what's your suggestion?
Yeah, Sean for the stack.
Well, I was just going to ask a point of information, I guess, for Dan. What was your suggesting then?
I mean, I think we should, when we ask people to respond to the RFP, we should ask individuals, and we should also ask companies like True Ballot or others to give us proposals and see whether they can take on all the duties at a more economical cost than what we have been experiencing.
Okay, thank you. Okay, was that Sean?
Yeah, this is me. I don't buy into the assumption that only firms have the experience. There are numerous individuals, I can name a couple already, that have worked with us who have the experience to run this. And our costs in elections are not really, whether we hire an individual or a firm. They are institutional in the fact that we have two elections out of every 3 years, which is something that the election committee needs to look into because there are many people throughout the Pacifica family who believe that two elections every 3 years are useless and we should be to one. But again, I do not buy into the assumption just put forth that only firms have the experience. We all know of people, individuals who have run elections both for Pacifica and for unions that could handle this situation. Thank you.
Point of order here. Timekeeper, please note the agenda allotted time for this discussion. Add it up. I think you would have 45 minutes. Is that right?
45 minutes, yes, for all these three combined. Right.
Okay.
So we have about 32 minutes to go, something like that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank
Can I be on the... Melinda?
Melinda, go ahead.
Okay. One thing I think that we ought to bear in mind is that there's a reason why we might want to consider, just as a thought, having somebody who would have, if nothing else, a professional background to him. My concern is this. If we were not the type of people who were so ridiculously litigious, I mean, come on. I'm really concerned about having someone, especially if they're in-house with Pacifica, because considering all the factions and he said, she said, and how people will sue at the drop of a hat, I would like to have somebody who would be more objective. That's my concern, because I think we're just opening the door, and too frequently it seems like we just open the floodgates just on a regular basis, and that's part of where we got poor to begin with.
Chair?
Yes. Campbell?
Yes.
Let me see. Is there anybody that hasn't spoken yet on this want to speak? Okay, go ahead, Campbell.
Yes. I think that it's rather problematic, considering the kind of organization Pacifica is supposed to be, to discriminate against firms in the bidding. If it turns out that an individual puts together the best proposal, as it's reviewed by, the ED or whomever is going to be reviewing it, then so be it. If it's an individual who does that, and I've frequently bid as an individual on contracts and beat out firms, then so be it. But, it particularly, I question any reference to someone that has had experience with Pacifica. And knowing how Pacifica's elections have been conducted, to hold that up as being a sign of particular credibility for the individuals, I think it argues quite against the individuals. And I think that Melinda's point is certainly very important, that you stand a better chance of having an impartial person when you have someone who is, when you have a firm that is not particularly tied to any one individual. And, so I don't have any one individual. I can think of several organizations that could do a fine job on this kind of voting, and I've seen them do this kind of job, but they aren't organizations that I have a personal connection with anyone in the organization. So I think that this is the kind of thing that should be open to any organization or individual to bid on, and we just take the best and the most impartial entity or individual to accept. Thank you.
Arlene, for the stack.
Yeah, Arlene, go ahead.
I'm just wondering about the bylaws in which they say that the executive director will appoint a national election supervisor. Now, maybe a firm would also qualify under that, but I think that's something we should consider, that Section 4A in the bylaws.
Charge the stack when appropriate.
Yep. Go ahead,
Sean. Yes,
yeah,
Mr. Chair. I just want to say that I'm not against, and maybe I'm picking up on what Arlene has just said, I'm not against a firm, but I do believe we need to pick a national election supervisor. He may work with a firm, but we need to have an individual, because as I pointed out before, we already know from talking to firms over the years and looking at their response to our requests for proposals, they aren't going to do the voter outreach. They aren't going to do the promo cards. They aren't going to do the town hall-style candidate forums. So it behooves us, folks, to pick an individual. Will we, in coordination with that individual, pick a firm? Perhaps we will. Yes. So let us not have – and also let us not be bought off at the idea that the individuals that have served us before are in any way corrupt or part of factions. In fact, one of the things I was really impressed with in this last cycle is that the individual local election supervisors tried unfailingly to be fair, and I think that that is a bit of a smear to say that they didn't run fair elections because of inherent problems in local stations such as Washington, D.C., where they were plagued with problems because of their, you know, inherent politics going on there. Let us not mistake factional politics.
There was time.
Okay,
time.
Thank you.
Chair,
who else put the stack? Well, let me see who else hasn't spoken yet. Anybody else want to speak that hasn't spoken yet?
Ahmad Anderson, HR director for the stack.
I'm sorry, who is this?
Ahmad.
Oh, okay. Ahmad, yeah, please go ahead.
Greetings to all of you. As I sit here listening and thinking about what's before us, one of the questions I think is a combination of both, is that we are up against the gun as it relates to a time frame in which this person should have been appointed. We don't want to process in any way, shape, or fashion. I do firmly believe that a combination of both is not only efficient, but would be quite effective. The National Action Supervisor still hold and maintain their role and responsibilities. They would work in conjunction with the firm to do the program management that would be necessary at a very grassroots and local level. If it happens to be someone who is within our organization, they have to understand the culture of Pacifica, what we've experienced in the past, what blindsides and obstacles we don't want to fall into as we've done previously. Cost, of course, is an issue, but we can vet that out by looking through the RFP, which I believe is really necessary to do. So moving forward, we're not sitting here next year having a similar conversation.
Okay, it was difficult to understand you, Ahmad. I don't know if you're on a speakerphone or what. It was kind of echoing, but I think we got it. Other people for the stack?
Can you hear me better now?
Yes.
So high level, a combination of both. Project manager, the National Election Supervisor, should be appointed. I don't think we should rule out the opportunity of looking at through an RFP of an organization or company that will work along with our chosen, appointed, executive directed, appointed National Election Supervisor. Cost is an issue. There may be the intricate parts that the organization or company can do, but from a grassroots level of drumming up the participation, educating our listenership, getting out to the local levels and working with the organizations and radio stations and the areas to make sure we get a mass turnout that is educated, that we make sure that we fully outline what we need from that supervisor. And the supervisor also is to work with the organization that we choose, if we choose it, to make sure they cover the real fine details that we have lacked. Not that they haven't been the best at what they can do, but so we're not having this conversation again this time next year. We can't rush this process. The vote and the voice of the people is essential, and it's imperative to what we're all about at Pacifica. Sorry about the background noise that took place earlier.
All right. Thank you.
Could I get on the stack, please?
Mr. Chair?
Was it Fred?
Campbell.
Yes, Mr.
Campbell? Okay, well, Fred first. Go ahead.
Thank you. Just very briefly, I'm new to this, but it just strikes me that if you write a proper RFP that specs the requirements of both positions, it is somewhat immaterial whether it is a firm or an individual. I think, for example, of what I thought was a good job Michael Sanchez did here in Los Angeles. You conceptualize that. One of the things that I think was quite useful was his knowledge of local culture and the local community. That's a requirement. It goes in there. You put the requirements that more typically might be met by a firm in terms of the more procedural plan-based process management. Put that in there as well and let the executive director decide what kind of fish she ends up with in the net and make the call. But an RFP, in conclusion, renders this immaterial. I think the use cases we would run through our minds as we structure it would be what has Michael Sanchez brought to it? What would a firm bring to the job? Get that in the RFP and take it from there. Thank you.
Ken Aaron to the stack.
Okay, and then Campbell, and then Ken?
And then Tracy
Campbell?
To the stack.
Okay.
Yes, thank you. I certainly have to agree with that, and you know, any organization, I guess, other than Pacifica, would follow that kind of dictate, and especially with the kinds of problems that Pacifica's had. And at WPFW, it wasn't anything that was a faction orientation, so much as it was that the LES, the local election supervisor, the national election supervisor, both were totally and completely unresponsive to the concerns that were raised. A person who, among these issues, was a person who was a legitimate candidate, participated in every aspect of candidacy, and then when the results came out, the person was listed as a write-in candidate with no votes. And, you know, that was just absolutely not the case from the inquiries that were made. And so what took place is that these folks were operating pretty much as cowboys on their own with, you know, no accountability. Now, maybe they had some, you know, personal predilections, but I can recall that our local election supervisor wasn't available, as you would expect somebody who was in an organization and had some accountability that they were really seriously inclined to relate to. And this was the same person as had been involved in the last election. So I think that it's totally important for us to have an RFP without biasing it towards individuals or firms. Let's see who comes in. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Ken?
Hi. Putting aside politics and speculation and philosophy, it seems to me evident that we're going to have to work on the RFP and the relationship between a natural person, NES, and a firm, which that's my opinion. But what I'm more concerned about is if I can implore Les Radke, the current national election supervisor, to please state his viewpoints on these issues and how we should best go about hiring an NES for the upcoming election. I therefore defer to Les if we can get him to talk.
I'm here. I'm
okay, Tracy, you're next on the stack, but is it okay we go ahead and hear from Les? Okay, go ahead, Les.
I think we should separate some things. First of all, True Ballot was involved with the second election. There you had a situation. I should point out that every national election supervisor has been a member of Fair Vote and Californians or Californians for Electoral Reform. Fair Vote is the overall organization which has put this stuff forward. So that organization has always been worked with. The problem of many of the problems have to do with membership lists. That's not going to be solved by having an outside organization. In terms of things that Campbell brought up, he and I have to talk offline because I spent, frankly, a fair amount of time, particularly the first few weeks, trying to deal with a situation in Washington, D.C. And I think that the same problems that I think that it's very important to bring up these problems because the same problems that people are talking about are going to be there whether or not it's a national election supervisor or it's an organization. There has to be some point person who's responsible for an incredible amount of things that are going on, particularly understanding the culture of each station and understanding a little bit about what's going on. But the things that Casey and Ken and others have brought up about outreach, this is a very important part of the job. This is not something organizations that are responsible for elections are interested in. They take mailing lists. They send stuff out. And I don't think it solves the problem. We work with organizations. All of the national election supervisors have worked with organizations.
Excuse me,
Campbell? For printing.
Are we going to get a speech or, you know, are we all subject to the amount of time?
Well, okay. Excuse me. Actually, we didn't give him an opportunity to give a report, but can we... I guess we should go on briefly, can we come back to you, Les, and get a report?
Sure.
Would that be okay? Thank you. Okay. Tracy was next on the stack.
Okay. I think that I already made this point, but let me make it a little more concretely, which is that I read your RFP, and like Les, to some degree, I'm sharing my perspective from, you know, having struggled to do the job at some point in all the, you know, particular task-oriented ways that you understand a job when you actually have to do it. And I want to be clear, I don't think the RFP has all the characteristics that it needs to have in order to be, as I think Fred put it, that the RFP would take care of things if it were written correctly. That may be the case, but I don't think you have an RFP that's written correctly. What I do think you have is you have a scenario where someone is going to bid on a job, a company. They're going to come in with an understanding of the job that is going to be somewhat different than the reality of the job. And the upshot of that scenario is almost always cost overruns and substantial ones. Individuals, unfortunately, agree to a salary, and then they have to do the work regardless. If you are in a position where you have a firm that's going to bill you for cost overruns and time overruns, that's exactly what's going to happen. So I'm really, really, really leery of rushing a contractual process with an RFP that frankly needs a whole bunch of work on an extremely tight time schedule. And I think we would all be doing the foundation a service if we just slowed down and tried to approach this intelligently with a reasonable lead time going into the next election cycle. It may be the right thing to do, but if you do the right thing in the wrong way, it's not going to work.
Point of information?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Sean?
Yeah, are we going to be able, we have now met as an election cycle for three times. Are we going to be able to have a report from Les, our national election supervisor, at some point in this meeting?
Well, nobody else is on the stack right now. Can we go ahead and do that and let him give us a little bit more report?
Yeah, I would be happy with that. I just want to make sure, because we have tried for the last three meetings, and you know, God bless Les. I know he's a busy guy, and we got him here now, and I'd like to utilize him. Thank you.
Okay, any objections, anyone?
Mr. Chair, have a place for a report from him? And what we're doing is considering another matter, and I think that we should go ahead and finish with that matter, and then, you know, Les can make his report. And also, I had a point of information. Are there any persons involved in this committee who have connections with any election individuals or firms that have worked for Pacifica?
Well, that's a good question. Let me ask, to respond to your first point.
Who
I think
came, please?
This is Bill.
No, who was?
Oh, that was Campbell.
Okay.
Asking the question, and then this is Bill. I think getting a report from Les directly would address some of the items on the agenda that we're talking about now, both reviewing the NES duties and job description, and also process for searching for and selecting an NES. So I think that would be relevant to what this agenda item.
But I think that he's got a vested interest that he would be inclined to pursue on that, and
excuse
it just
me,
seems inappropriate.
Why is there all this crosstalk? He has made a ruling. If you wish to appeal it, appeal it. Thank you.
Yeah, we know who he is, and so if you you can take that into account, I guess, from whatever he says. But are there any objections to letting him give us a report?
Well, I would
now,
like.
How long do you need, Les? 5 minutes or something, or
less than that. Because less than that.
Okay. Any objections to that, anyone?
Are we gonna? Don't we have an item that we're voting on now?
I would just ask that he be given the amount
point
of time.
Of order, there are no motions being voted on now. There are no motions on the floor.
Yes, there's no motions on the floor.
If necessary, I will make a motion that we grant the outgoing election supervisor a 10-minute period of time to give us a report.
Second. And speaking as? Who made the motion?
Tracy made the motion.
I think that information will inform our decision-making going forward.
Second.
Okay, we don't really need a second. Any objections to that? Hearing no objections, go ahead, Les.
I will try to make this brief. I should point out that I still haven't. I received the draft of one report. I've received three other reports, and I haven't received one report from the local election supervisor. I'm trying to have all of this out by the end of the month, including my own. So I haven't released a report other than the brief summary that I included in the for the Pacific National Board meeting. However, I did write a report for the 2006 elections where I was National Election Supervisor, and I think it's worthwhile looking at because many of the questions that we have are mentioned there, and except for the timetable, frankly, none of them have been resolved. There are questions about membership on staff, about the membership list, about uniformity in terms of how we treat different stations. I think those are important things. I think where our success was this time had to do with the Pacific National Board resolution about making sure that the stations allowed enough time for parts to be played. I think there was tremendous acceptance on the part of all the stations that there had to be these cards that were played. It varied from station to station because there were different problems at different stations. Those that were fairly non-faction-like, like KPFC, there were no problems at all because you had an agreement that this should be done. The stations that had more problems in terms of factional fights, there were some difficulty in terms of trying to get the cards mentioned. But I would say that overall, it was pretty good. And if you look at the vote totals, for example, for New York, were almost 20% of the membership, which is as high as it's ever been. So on that level of outreach, I think the outreach was done very well. With the membership, every single election, there's been no exception, has had problems with membership lists, both in terms of paid staff, unpaid staff, and listener membership. And the other problem that I see is the fact that at least 80% of all the ballots are just simply thrown away. A large part of the cost that people like Dan and others have brought up is the printing. The printing itself is, this time was way over $100,000, about $150,000. That was a major part of the cost. When you find that you're putting this stuff out, sending it to people who aren't at their addresses, and you add to that the fact that 80% of the people at least don't even send their ballots in, it seems to me we should look at that. I mean, there should be some way of handling that. I have a couple of suggestions. One is to look at online voting. One is what I've done. And one is to look at the idea of pledge cards where people can say they want to receive election material. If you cut down, I'm not sure, if you cut down that amount, you can save a tremendous amount of money just by making sure that people are willing to at least look at it. I have many friends who just throw the stuff away. They don't even look at the ballots at all. So that's just a comment. I think in terms of my report, it'll answer a lot of questions, but I would prefer if there's something that people really need to know that I haven't done at this point other than the report that they asked me, and I try to give you my answer.
And Aaron, I would ask Les a question. What's your recommendation, the best way to hire an NES?
The best way to hire an NES is the same way that we've done it in the past. Find an individual who's willing to spend that amount of time, because it has to be. There has to be a point person, whether you're looking at an organization or not. It still has to be a point person who says, "I am the National Election Supervisor. I'm responsible for outreach. I'm responsible for the LESs." That can't be. I mean, if you send it over to an organization, I was a union president, and we've gone through these types of ballots with organizations. They consider the fact that the organization will handle things like membership lists. They simply take what is given to them and are willing to do the mechanical work. This job is not a mechanical job. This job is a very, very highly political job simply because we have all the outreach that's possible because it's a radio station.